Welcome to Haunted Hospitality, Southern stories told by spooky gingers. I'm Robin.
And I'm Zoe. And I have a story for you guys today. But first, Robin, how is life?
Life is haunted. Okay, my TV keeps turning on its own.
You've mentioned this before.
It's getting worse. Like, it happened last night. It happened, I think, maybe it didn't happen today, but it happened yesterday. It happened two or three times this week. It is picking up the pace. And one could say, perhaps, like, okay, so, oh, this, it, okay, 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 okay. Maybe okay. This is cause for spooky concern as well. Probably not. They're, like, I'm a forgetful person. Items, I lose, and then they come back again. But I went on a trip a few months ago, and I don't know where I put the remote for our TV, and I only knew it was lost because my roommate came back and was like, I searched high and low for the remote. Couldn't find it. Well, I ordered us another remote because, well, we need a remote. And then I think the same night or so that I'm back in the apartment, we're using the remote on the TV. All of a sudden, I'm in my red chair, iconic red chair. Mm-hmm. I look down in my hand. I'm holding our old remote.
What?
Yeah,
do you remember picking it up?
No, I don't. Now, listen, I fidget. I pull things. I don't know. I fidget. And so, like, I guess it could have been that it was, like, between, because there's, like, a crevice between the seat cushion and the arm. But both me and my roommate had checked that, had looked there. And I'm sitting there, and suddenly it appears in my hand. And
I don't like that.
It was kind of after we had the two remotes that the whole TV turning on really kicked into the gear, and you could say, well, Robin, maybe somebody was pressing a remote. Sometimes both remotes are visible. Other times they're like not anywhere near our person. It's like on the floor, it's on a table or something. It's happening a weird amount. And it happened when we were both upstairs last night. That was it, I think.
Question.
My roommate had to go back down and turn it off. Yeah.
Where were the cats?
That is a great question.
Because Soup accidentally turns our TV on all the time. I was literally in the middle of a meeting and just like, I think it was Teen Titans starts blasting in the background.
Brilliant. You know, it could have been, it only very technically could have been the cats. Okay. Sometimes it happens when Remy's out and Remy's not really a remote button pushing cat.
Soup.
That's all I know how to say about it.
Sue mm-hmm. purposely knocks the remote down on the TV. She'll knock the remote off the table. So she'll like mm-hmm. stare at me while batting the remote off.
So our cats don't necessarily do that. I'm going to pay more attention to this now that I'm realizing that it is a pattern that is increasing with frequency. And I will report back. And I do hope that I just look down one day and I'm like, Binks, why are you pressing the power button on the remote? I really hope that's the outcome.
You should test it by like locking up the remotes. And then if it still turns on, your next test would be to unplug the TV.
I thought you were about to say an EMF reader. Okay, that sounds great. Okay, I'm going to put up the remotes in like the little box and then we'll see what happens.
Yes, please do. This is intriguing.
I'll keep you updated. Well, Zoe, how's your life?
Well, you briefly mentioned I'm a little bit burnt as well because mm-hmm. you and I have participated in a Columbia rite of passage. We are now true Columbians. Mm-hmm. We have attended the St. Patrick's Festival at Five Points.
Yeah.
And it was not as crazy as we thought it was going to be.
Not at all.
No. But we did day drink instead of night drink. So we went at like 11:30 noon.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of fun. We just like listened to music. We had three drinks. I was able to find things that I wasn't allergic to, which was honestly amazing.
I hate for you that like every green stained drink I had, the base was pineapple.
Yeah.
And you're like heavily allergic to pineapple.
Yeah.
Because there's something about just walking around Five Points on St. Pat's with a green dyed drink monstrosity in your hands.
Well, my first drink was a green tea. So it was like a yellow green. Something. I did get one yellow green beverage. But the one place that we went to, the Froze place, they had a green Froze and they were right next to the jazz band. And Robin goes up and is like, I want a green Froze. And she's like, you want three roses?
I would have gotten three roses and be like, Zoe, I'm so sorry, you're allergic. You have to have one of them. I cannot confront these people.
I was like, what flavor is it? And she was like yelling into my ear. And literally all I heard was white wine, pineapple. And then I could not hear the other things. But I was like, okay, pineapple. You said pineapple. Yeah,
pineapple was the important bit for you to hear.
Yeah. And then the next one, we tried to get a margarita. But the green margarita, there was a lime margarita. And then there was a St. Patrick's Day margarita. But that had pineapple in it. So I got the strawberry margarita.
But no, it was fun to be festive.
Though the walk back was not great.
Not super great. No, I had a lot of fun. I was super proud of the step counter on my phone.
Yes.
And I got up later that I was like so proud. I was like sitting there in the chair, like conveniently not having gotten up much. And I was like, I did that many steps. I'm feeling great. My knee is not hurting. I stand up.
Yeah.
It was hurting.
Yeah, my body still hurts today. Like, okay, so I went to bed really late Friday night. And so then I had to get up early for a weekend to get to your place. And that means 9 a.m.
I was about to say, you did get there at 11:30 a.m.
Yeah, no, that was very early for me. I used today to sleep in, so Kari woke me up at 12:30. But I had gone to bed late the night before, woke up, did this whole outside where I was hot, I was sweaty. I came home, I kissed Kari, immediately took a shower, went to the couch in Kari's game room, and passed out until 7 p.m. And I'm like, I feel old, but also I think that if I hadn't had anything to drink, I probably still would have passed out.
Yeah, probably. I think if anything, the drink's just like, it's not what made us tired. I don't think it helped. And I do not think that the Gouda mac and cheese helped either.
No, it was not good mac and cheese either.
Not really.
But anyway. Oh, yeah. And the pulled pork probably didn't really help. Like,
no,
yeah,
we didn't consume things in our best interest.
And the walk back, we both had to take a pause for a moment so that our stomachs didn't revolt. But it was fun.
It was super fun.
Well, Robin, do you have a something for us today?
I do. I'm going to be talking about the 100 Steps Cemetery in Cloverland, Indiana, or near Cloverland, Indiana. This place is also called the Carpenter Cemetery, I hear, but we're definitely calling it the 100 Step Cemetery because that pertains to the story.
All
right. It's been around for a while. It's been around for a while since the Civil War. And just so we know, even though the legend talks about going there at midnight, this is only open from dawn to dusk, and you absolutely should not go there at midnight because that is trespassing.
Woo!
So do not do this legend. But it is called the 100 Step Cemetery because there is a staircase in it. It looks like it's kind of, I don't know if it's like connecting two parts of the cemetery or like if you parked down below or something, you take the 100 steps up the hill to the main part of the cemetery. It's not steep, and these stairs are not original to the space. They got replaced a few years ago because people kept wanting to come to the cemetery, and it kept not being great stairs for that. But people say that at midnight, you can climb the steps of the cemetery, and you count each one until you get to the top of them. Then when you turn around and go back down, you will count a different amount of steps. So that's the first urban legend. There's like two or three different iterations. So the first iteration is you go up, you count 100, you go back down, you count something different, and meaning there is something supernatural happening on the way back down that it's not exactly the way up.
Yes, and it's not just that people don't really know how to count.
It would be if it was me.
Like, if you're counting things, yeah. You tend to accidentally skip a number, count twice or something like that. I always count things twice because of that.
So would you walk up twice?
No, because that's 100 stairs and I'm not about to be like Nesta.
You're okay. I have not gotten to that point in the book, but I've heard enough memes about Nesta and stairs that I know something. Another version of it says that, okay, you counted 100 steps when you go up. And if you get that exactly right, when you're at the top, you will see the spirit of the cemetery's former caretaker.
Aww.
And the caretaker will show you how and when you will die. Again, this is midnight. I also saw something say it's a moonless night. So it's walking up in the dark, 100 steps. Caretaker shows you how and when you will die. On the Brazil Times, it's a newspaper, it said that you can run away if you don't. Okay, let's say like you get to the top, you see the ghost, you're like, actually, I was just here for the shits and giggles. I don't want to know this information. It said you can run away. And from my understanding of what it said, if you do that, you need to make sure you count exactly 100 steps as you run away. Otherwise, you will die. Or otherwise, you will die the way the vision said. There's another version of the story, which it says, okay, you go there, you see the vision of how you will die, and then you go back down the stairs and you're counting each of the steps and you're hoping to count exactly 100. Because if you count exactly 100, then that means what you saw of how and when you will die does not actually apply to you.
Okay.
I also wonder if because you're counting 100 steps up, you're counting 100 steps down, if that means that because there was no blip in that at all, meaning that there's another step, that perhaps you can interpret that nothing supernatural happened at all in that moment.
Okay.
I'm now, kind of confused by that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the logic of it. Mm-hmm.
If you meet the caretaker and he shows you a vision of you dying peacefully in your home, surrounded by your family at the ripe old age of 99... would you purposefully accidentally skip a step when you're counting or something? That way it still applies to you?
Absolutely. I'd be like, shoot, I lost count.
Better start over
like,
at one.
98, I'd be like, shoot, I lost count. I think I'm at 50. You're kind of on my way down. Because, yeah, if you do go down and you see a different number of steps, then you have to interpret that that is actually how you will die. And there are some people, apparently, according to legend, that will try to, like, not take the steps. They'll, like, try to go around it. Just go down the hill
rather than
the steps. And the legend says that, like, you will be whacked. You will be whacked. And that perhaps a red handprint will be on your skin for a few days.
That's hilarious. Like, get on the path.
Which I do think that there is a lot in this moment of decision at the top of the steps of how much do I like the vision or how much do I hate the vision? Because if you like, if it says like you die in 2 years traumatically, I'd take the hill. I'd take the whack, you know?
Yeah.
Like, fine, slap me. Does that mean like we've countered the vision?
Just bring your skateboard up there and like grind on the rails on the way down. And one rail.
There's no rails.
Oh, well, that's an issue in itself. We need to call OSHA over here.
Yes, OSHA, please. This probably rural cemetery, because we need to be able to do our legend safely, but only during the daytime, because otherwise it's illegal.
Are the stairs considered part of that? Because, like...
what do you mean?
Like, we could go to the state house at midnight and sit on the stairs of the state house as long as we're not going in through the front doors. So, are the stairs included as a part of the cemetery? Like, is the stairs inside the midnight gate or are the stairs outside the gate?
I assume that they are... I don't know if there's a gate, but I assume that they're part of it. Like they, I saw a photo like where it goes like straight up to the cemetery. So I really think that like if you get to the top of the stairs, you're in the cemetery.
Gotcha.
So it's a no-go.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Darn it.
But thank you for checking. Thank you for checking. Yeah, that's the 100 Step Cemetery.
Thank you. I want to go there at not midnight. Maybe if you can do it at noon, maybe it'll be the same. Yeah, the
inverse. Go. Okay. Just full on guess. Like, what if we go there at noon, we walk up the hill, so the grass, it's not super steep, to the top of the stairs, count them as we walk down. Because you're doing everything in inverse.
Yes.
Because it's PM versus AM.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then just do it all backward. And then at some point, we might get one or two hands on us, depending on how mad they are at us fooling their system.
Well, I've seen something that says, like, 3 a.m. and 3 p.m. are equally, like, the spooky hour, but nobody talks about 3 p.m. because the sun's out, so it's not creepy.
Sun's out, buns out, not creepy.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, Zoe, do you have a story for us today?
I do have a story for us today.
Mm-hmm.
And Brilliant. So for us, we're recording on St. Patrick's Day, so this is very thematic. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit late for our listeners, but deal with it. So I am sharing with you our next haunted boozy place.
Brilliant.
Yes. I told Robin, feel free to grab some alcohol. It looks like you are drinking sweet Moscato straight out of the bottle.
Yeah, I only have like truly a small wine glasses left, but I did want the effect of just coming up here with a full bottle. My roommate did judge me on the way up.
Well, I have a cup full of my signature drink of a Diet Coke with a peach schnapps. So,
love it.
Because apparently we didn't drink enough yesterday.
I know. When you said haunted boozy plates, I was like, I don't know how much I feel like drinking.
So we're going to be talking about Pat O'Brien's Bar in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Awesome.
So Pat O'Brien is Irish.
You don't say.
Yeah, I do. I do say. So the bar started off as a speakeasy ran by none other than the Irishman Pat O'Brien himself.
And you're really shocking me with all this information right here.
It was on the 600 block of St. Peter's Street in the French Quarter, of course, because why wouldn't it be? And the password to get in was Storms Brewing.
Love it.
Yes.
Storms Brewing. They probably should have changed up the password every now and then, but it's a dramatic one.
It is. It really is. Mm-hmm. So after the Prohibition ended, the bar officially opened on December 3rd, 1933. And then in 1942, along with his poker buddy, Charlie Cantrell, Pat purchased 718 St. Peter Street, which is now the main location.
Mm-hmm.
And we covered in episode 140, Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop and Bar or whatever. Blacksmith Shop Bar. Yeah, that's what it's called. And so that's on Bourbon Street, which is like intersects with St. Peter Street. So this building, like you can go around the corner and you're at Lafitte's.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. So they do have a couple other locations. One is on the Alamo Plaza. And the other one is in Universal Studios in Orlando.
Interesting. Okay, that's an interesting combination of places. I feel the need to clarify, I laughed at the Alamo stuff just because we have covered everything in, around, and including the Alamo.
It's just so funny because it's like they're in the French Quarter of New Orleans, they're in the Alamo, and then they're in Universal Studios.
We need to cover Universal Studios?
Maybe, because I am going to talk a little bit about the Alamo Plaza location, too, in this episode.
Brilliant. Okay.
So.
I hope so.
Anyway, going back to the one in New Orleans, the building that it's in currently was built in 1791. It was originally a private home, and it later became the first Spanish theater in the United States. And then it went back to being a home. And the original building, the speakeasy, had an upright piano that they would hire somebody to play at for entertainment.
What's an upright piano?
It's the skinny pianos, like that you'd see in your grandma's house. Like it goes up, like it has a mantle.
Oh, okay. I do know what you mean. I've never thought of it as a skinny piano or an upright piano. Okay, I guess so. It's just not a grand piano.
Because the grand pianos originally went out.
Mm-hmm.
And so an upright piano was the cheaper version.
Oh, that's why it's taller.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Zoe.
You're welcome. So yes, in the original speakeasy, they had one upright piano and the new place was bigger. So they decided to buy two baby grand pianos and place them side by side. And they started a gimmick that would continue to all of their bars: dueling piano playing.
Did they start that?
They started it
in the originals.
It really, really seemed like they were the original bar that did this. However, I was getting information from
them.
Yes.
Yeah. Every place really does love to claim the mantle of first.
Yeah. Well, in this bar, the two piano players would battle for tips. And now apparently if you go, you can go up and request songs, and whoever you like the most, that's who you will request to do the song. And whoever gets the most requests apparently wins the battle.
Okay. So they're actually dueling. Gotcha.
Yeah. Like they're legitimately, like they count up their tips afterwards too. Like.
All right.
In the 1940s, there was a small thing happening called a world war. And so U.S. distilleries.
Yeah.
The U.S. distilleries were transformed into manufacturing plants for military efforts. So it was really hard to get domestic liquor. But the rum from the Caribbean islands found its way up the Mississippi River. And so more bars were using rum in their drinks rather than anything from the U.S. Mm-hmm. So Pat O'Brien's had a general manager called Georgie O'Chesner Jr., who experimented with rum recipes, and he was able to create what we know as the Hurricane. So it's rum and passion fruit in a glass shaped like a hurricane lamp. And I'm like, what the heck is a hurricane lamp?
Thank you for asking that.
Yes. So it's one of those lamps where you kind of hold it like you're holding a mug, right? A coffee mug. And it has the funky shaped, like hourglass almost, glass that goes over the light. And apparently the reason it's shaped like that is to protect it from high winds.
Okay.
So the mug itself has that kind of hourglass shape. And that's what they served it in because they were able to get a bunch at a discount. And they put the passion fruit and rum mixture in there, and the hurricane became their known drink. It became New Orleans' drink, and it went worldwide.
All right.
So I'm willing to believe this 100% that they were the first to invent the hurricane.
Sounds legit.
So George Ochsner and his son, Sonny. That's right.
His son, Sonny.
Yep.
Love it.
They purchased Pat O'Brien's bar in 1978. They then purchased 624 Bourbon Street, which is a couple blocks down from Lafitte's, and they made that into a restaurant. And they also purchased an event center that they called Pat O's on the River. So
nice.
The 718 St. Peter's Street location is the one with all the ghosts. So is the Alamo, but we'll get to that. So some general things to get us started. There are cold spots abound in the building, even when it's packed with people, which that can get very warm, especially if you're drinking and you're in New Orleans, which I imagine is very warm. People hear footsteps in the empty attic. Employees will
love that.
Employees will hear the footsteps of people dancing in front of the pianos when no one is there and the building is closed to customers. Objects will move on their own, with employees witnessing chairs being dragged back across the floor without anyone touching it, or glasses flying off the bar on their own. The third floor and the staircase up to the second floor's women restroom makes visitors and staff feel uneasy.
The staircase does?
Yeah.
Why is it always the women's restroom? Have we ever heard of a men's restroom being haunted? I haven't.
Not off the top of my head. I can't remember.
No. No. That's sexist.
I wonder
the men's restroom.
I wonder if women are just, like, more in tune with their surroundings.
And so we notice it more?
Yeah.
Maybe, but there are some obvious women bathroom ghosts.
Yeah.
Like, in Pugin's Porch.
And at Half Moon River Brewery.
Yeah, not Half Moon, but yeah, Moon River Brewing. And it's a guy, right?
Yeah.
And he's pretty handsy.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure
Lafitte. No, we got some obvious ghosts. I don't know.
Yeah. I think Lafitte has a haunted bathroom, too.
It stands to reason. Interesting. Interesting. I'm gonna think more on this. Maybe we can turn this into something. An episode of the women's hauntedest bathrooms in the South. Just like fully, we are revisiting our episodes, just talking about the bathroom bits. It's like a compilation episode. I'm actually down for that.
Yes. And it's like the opposite of the goat. What is it? There's like a bathroom app that you can download where like it tells you what bathrooms are like safe and which like all of this.
It's it would the be opposite. The
opposite of that. Like, don't go into these bathrooms.
Yeah.
You'll be groped by a ghost.
Yeah. I think we got a great idea here.
We'll be revisiting the bathroom talk, by the way. Yeah. So employees will report that they don't feel alone when they're the only ones there. And the pianos, which are not self-playing pianos, will occasionally play a note or two without anyone being around them.
Like my TV.
Like your TV.
Okay.
One employee told a story where he was restocking the bar before they opened and he heard footsteps behind him. No matter where he went, the footsteps followed him and they sounded like they were right behind him. And no matter time, like he turned around and there's nothing there. And the footsteps. No, you're good. What?
I'm just thinking, like, what if we ever like end one of the sentences and be like, yeah, and just a guy needed to get past him.
So the footsteps briefly stopped and he felt relieved until he heard the piano play a few notes and then he got freaked out. And people who have heard his story are like, oh my God, it wanted to play the piano with him. Like, it was challenging him to a duel.
Oh, well, yeah. That's precious.
Yeah. So before Pat O'Brien purchased this building, the owners before purchased the next door apartment building to expand their property. So what we know as Pat O'Brien's used to be a single family home and a apartment complex, and they kind of blended together.
Okay.
The bar didn't really use this area, but they eventually decided to convert it into a private party area. So they had to do some renovations. Yes. So during the renovation, they seem to have disturbed the ghost of a past tenant. So on the fourth floor, there is a window that would not stay closed. Like, it got to the point where every night the project manager himself would go up to the fourth floor, shut the window, make sure it was secured, and be like, I have closed the window. Today's date is March 17th. I have closed the window. And then he'll leave the building. And the next morning, the first person to arrive will check the window and it's open and propped up.
Okay. The propped up.
Yes.
Displaces my theory.
What was your theory?
So I used to live in a studio apartment in a very old house. And in the bathroom, there was a window that when it got cold, I can't remember if wood expands or contracts in the cold. It did something that opened the window. And I only discovered this when I was back from Thanksgiving break. And I found that the window to my bathroom was open. And I'm like, did anybody break in? And then it kept opening. And so then I'm thinking, haunted? But no, it was the cold.
Yeah, so it contracts because water is the only thing that expands when it's cold. And I don't think we know why. But so everything else contracts when it's cold, because when it's cold, the molecules are bouncing around a lot less. So it's contracting. And what probably happened is that because your window was in the tracks, when the wood contracted, it pulled. And like it, because it was pulling, it moved up.
Okay, I will take your word for it.
Well, but this case, this is a very old window that didn't have like older windows, if you wanted to open them, they didn't just like stay open. You had to like put a piece of wood, like a ruler or something. Yeah. And in this one, that piece of wood was there, propping it up.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes. So, ghosts. So the area on the same area on the fourth floor was used as a kitchen storage area for the bar. Might still be. I'm not 100% sure on that. But many cooks refused to go into the room, at least not alone, because they said that they always felt eerie and unnerved when they went in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wait, which room again?
The fourth floor. The one that had the window.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of floors in this bar.
Yeah. So from what I could tell from the photos, because I would purposely search Pat O'Brien's New Orleans, and I would get photos from all three locations.
Such as it is.
And so from what I got from the photos that I was able to find is that this is very clearly a building that used to be a house. And so the first and the second floor are the area for with the bar and the kitchen, and people can sit up there, you know, all that fun stuff. And because they have to kind of like put you in what used to be a hallway, you know, so it's very oddly set up. And then the third floor seems to be the office and storage area. And then the fourth floor is storage that they don't use that often area. And then they also have an attic.
All right.
So you remember how I mentioned that the staircase to the women's restroom weirded people out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, we're going to come back to that bathroom. So this women's restroom is haunted as well. And it may be haunted by the former bathroom attendant. Because
that
remember,
tracks.
Yep, very briefly, this was a Spanish theater. So it's likely that they did have a bathroom attendant. So women will report going up the stairs, already feeling a little bit weirded out. And then they'll go to the bathroom and there's like a small landing, and they'll go to the bathroom and they'll hear footsteps follow them into the bathroom as if there was somebody outside on that landing waiting. But when they like
waiting.
But when they turn back to like hold the door open for somebody that maybe they just didn't see, no one's there. And then while you're inside doing your business, you'll hear shuffling and rummaging around in the stall next to you. But if you look under the partition, you can't see any feet or legs. And sometimes women will be in there confident that they're alone, only to hear bursts of laughter coming from the stalls.
Actually, no. So, actually, no. And the reason I'm saying no, everything that you said, I know we're going to go bathroom attendant, whatever, but like everything you said is turning off my radar for danger. Like, okay, You go to the landing. Somebody follows you into the bathroom. Of course, you can't see anything, but somebody follows you into the bathroom. Then you hear movement in the stall beside you. Then you hear laughter, and it's the second floor, so you're kind of assuming you're a bit remote from everything, because like you said, you just go up the stairs. No.
Mm-hmm.
Do I even, like, I'm leaving.
So, and like,
absolutely. I'm not doing any, like, number twos in there or anything. I'm in and out.
Are you sure? Because they might scare you into doing
it. I'm not doing any voluntary number twos.
Well, okay, so the thing that I'd like to point out is that they're confident that they're alone in the room. Because all the other ghosts in this area, they can feel like somebody's there. They feel like somebody's watching them. They can hear something. They can sense something. But it's only when you're like, oh, I am alone in this bathroom, that you'll hear the laughter.
Oh, no, actually.
And so when you double check, there's no one in the stalls. And then, so one woman said she was in the bathroom. She comes out of the stall. And she's kind of like just minding her own business. She's looking down. She's not really paying attention. And she sees like there's somebody at one of the sinks, but she's not really like looking at them because you're in a bathroom. And so you don't want to like look at people. It's, you know. And so she goes up to the other sink and she's washing her hands. And she just makes a offhanded remark, just like, oh, this sink's really pretty. Or I don't know what comment she made. But she makes a comment. Okay.
Love this sink. Love it.
Listen, have you never been to a restaurant and been like, that sink, though?
And that sink, though.
Like, anytime I go to BJ's, I'm like, I feel like I'm washing my hands in, like, a food trough for a pig. Like.
Okay.
So she makes an off comment, just a remark without really looking at the person. And the person responded, and she realized that the stranger was a man. And she's like, oh, crap, did I walk into the wrong bathroom? Is he in the wrong bathroom? So, like, she says she's, like, not really startled, but she looks at him, and she's like, he is well-dressed. And he has a towel in his hand that he's offering to her because she just finished washing her hands. And so she's just like, okay. And she reaches for the towel and her hand passes through him and the towel.
Yeah.
And that's where the story ends. And I'm like, what happened next? Did he disappear? Did you turn tail and run? Like,
would you have reached for the towel? In our modern day, you're you. We don't have bathroom attendants. They're definitely not dudes. Would you have reached for the towel?
I think that I would be confused in the moment.
Yes.
And when you're confused, you kind of sometimes act without really thinking too hard about it. That's and I true. Feel like human nature is... like the instinct, if somebody hands something to you, regardless of what it is, you're going to reach to take it. And maybe I would like automatically just reach to take it and then be like, wait, hold on, what's going on kind of moment, you know, like maybe thinking razor blades in the towel or whatever. But
oh, God, I wasn't even thinking about that.
What were you thinking of?
Well, I wasn't thinking of like, what's he hiding in the towel? But I was thinking like, is this a ploy to disarm a woman and harm her? I can just, I have this image in my mind of me looking at the towel, just shaking my hands and saying, I'm good. And then getting a little bit of water in his eye on accident and then scurrying on out of there.
On accident.
It's my defense mechanism. They're flappy.
But yes, so I like to imagine that she ran out of there screaming, but not 100% sure on that.
All right. All right.
So another employee had to quit her job because she dreaded coming to work every day. She said that anytime she used the restroom, she felt a presence in there and heard footsteps and heavy breathing.
Hell no.
No. Uh-uh. She said that she didn't feel any malicious intent, sure, but she was quoted saying ghosts of any sort just scared me senseless.
I'm fine with that. The heavy breathing.
Yeah.
Really off-putting.
Yeah. It's just like when I hear heavy breathing, I'm thinking like the whole gimmick of like calling you on the phone and going. Yeah. Like, so I'm just like, to hear that in a bathroom.
Yeah, that, the laughter, even if this is just the most politest ghost in the whole world, no thank you.
So before we leave the potty talk, I want to bring up my own personal story about a bathroom. That's not anywhere near here. It's actually at my place of work, which is an old building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes go into one of the bathrooms and I legitimately have this feeling that I need to like just keep my eyes down and not look around, because I get overwhelmed with this feeling that if I look underneath the partition between the stalls, I'm gonna see something with black eyes staring back at me.
Zoe, that's an incredibly specific feeling you're getting.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like if I look under the stall, I'm going to see an upside down, pale head with black eyes just staring at me. And then I feel like I can't look above the stalls either, because then he'll be staring at me from above.
He.
Yes.
Ooh.
And so I just kind of like keep my eyes down, walk out of the stall, wash my hands. I refuse to look in the mirror, and then I get out of the room. Like, it's overwhelming. Like, it kind of scares me a little bit sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, that's a scary feel. Wait. So this is in your place of work. Is this your primary bathroom?
It's one of two.
Yeah, you were brave for going in there, because I mean, like, that's too specific, and you're a person who is sensitive to these things, it appears.
It's funny that you say I'm brave for going in there. Okay, so yeah. There are two bathrooms that I use. The main one I use is down the right hallway. And I have a schedule on my cubicle that tells me when classes are in session. And I will only go to that bathroom if it's between 20 minutes after and 20 minutes before classes start. Because a lot of students use that bathroom.
Okay.
And if I go in the in-between time, I might have to wait in line with a bunch of students. And that makes me socially anxious. And all so right, if I fair. Really, really have to go to the bathroom and it's like in between classes or something like that, I'll go to the left bathroom. And the left bathroom is where I always get that feeling.
So just to make sure I'm getting everything right with your priorities, I feel like I'm Hermione, just to make sure I'm understanding them correctly, you would rather go into the bathroom where you have the distinct sense that if you look higher or lower than the partition between your stall and the next stall, there will be a pale man's head with black eyes staring at you, and there is something, probably him, I don't know, in the mirror. And you would rather do that than be with students.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I respect you. I hope you know, unless we're in a true emergency here, I don't see myself ever going into that bathroom.
I won't tell
That's
you which
terrifying.
One.
Do you, Zoe? You cannot like leave me with just to go to the wrong one. I'm gonna come back like traumatized, but I'm not gonna know why, because I'm not gonna sense anything, but I'm just gonna be like, I'm so scared for some reason. Zoe, that's just really that is just really scary. I am surprised you held that out to this moment.
See, the thing is, like, the first time I noticed it was like my second week of work too.
Okay, that's soon.
Yeah. And it is the bathroom that is right outside the theater, because there's like a whole theater. And we talk a lot about how theaters are haunted, too.
We do, actually. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna ask you follow-up questions, but
Okay.
we need to get back to
Right, yeah, I'm
your
talking about,
story.
yeah. So anyway, so the last little bit of Luff, not Luffett's, that's a few episodes ago, Pat O'Brien's, that's what I'm talking
Yeah,
about.
him.
So there is an outdoor patio area where a lot of people spend time while drinking. And so the way these New Orleans streets are set up is like, you know, there's rows of buildings where they're connected. So
Yeah.
there's not really an alleyway. And this courtyard is owned by Pat O'Brien's. And I don't, from what I could see from the photos, it did not look like there was a way to get into this courtyard without first going through Pat O'Brien's.
Okie doke.
So part of the employee's job is to make sure that all the chairs and tables are neat and orderly in this little courtyard area. And during non-peak hours, staff will go out there to straighten things up. They'll tuck chairs in underneath the tables. They'll make sure that the tables are in the right places because sometimes they migrate a little bit when people are like thumping on the table or whatever, you know. And so they go out there and they straighten everything up, usually when nobody's out there. And then they go inside for a moment to grab things, maybe some more silverware, whatever. And they go back outside and they haven't seen anybody go through the door to go through the courtyard. And the whole place is in disarray. The tables are knocked over, the chairs are knocked over, they're spread everywhere. It's completely messed up when minutes earlier they had just made everything nice and neat and orderly. And that's creepy.
It is. I'm sorry. It actually gets very creepy.
Robin's like, oh yeah, that's just a Tuesday for me.
I'm in the genre. I know how it's gonna go.
Okay, so that is it for New Orleans. I started adding this to my notes because I was writing it out. I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then I started noticing that in the video that I was watching, like, I'm like, this looks a little different. And then he's like, also, to make things creepier, this building has been shot by a cannon during the Battle of the Alamo. And I'm like,
All right.
how did a cannon get all the way to New Orleans? You know? And so I rewound the video and I realized that he had said, oh, what was it? He said, well, let's go to the most haunted bar in all of Texas. And I was like, I missed that bit. Yep. So,
The ghosts, they follow the name Pat O'Brien. It has nothing to do with location. It's the name Pat O'Brien. They go with him.
well, the Alamo is fairly haunted. So,
That's true. They could have come from the Alamo.
yeah. There's a Fuddruckers right next door. And I'm
Love
not
it.
gonna lie, I would love it if one of us came to the table being like, let me tell you about the world's most haunted Fuddruckers. But anyway, so over
Put a pen in
in,
that one.
the bathroom one, the Fuddruckers one.
Now, the bathroom of the Fuddruckers, you would not believe how haunted.
So, in the Alamo location of Pat O'Brien's, there is a ghost named Little Timmy. So, at this location, a little boy about 5 or 6 sits in the window in the second floor and he puts his hand up to the window and he looks down. Well, that area of the second floor is the private event center. So, when there's no event going on, they keep it all locked up. And pretty regularly, people will come in from the street and be like, there's a kid in your window. Like, you're a bar. You shouldn't be letting kids in here. And they're like, oh, let's go check. And so they go upstairs, unlock the door, walk in, and there's no kid in there. And I did see a couple sources like record the window pane, and there are children's handprints on the window pane. And I'm like 86% sure that these are not monkey
I was
handprints.
about to say,
Nobody owns a monkey.
Everybody, we had a story that was hinging on children's handprints randomly showing up. I showed a photo of it to Zoe, and Zoe was like, that is a monkey handprint. And then I looked at it harder, and I was like, oh, no. That's what this story is about. Okay, so you actually are 86% sure that they're not monkey hands.
I am 86% sure they are not monkey hands.
All right. Good, so, I trust your monkey handprint eye.
So there's this guy, his name is Russell Rush, probably a fake name, but he he does ghost investigations. And so he got permission to do investigations. I've linked to the YouTube video. And so at the beginning of their investigation, they go ahead and they clean all the children's handprints off of the window. And they're like, okay, we'll come back at the end of the night to check. And so they do the overnight investigation. They try to play hide and seek with Timmy. And they're like, tap on a wall really hard and we'll come find you. And then one of the investigators like freaks the mess out as she feels something touch her leg.
Mm-hmm.
Then in another room.
It's not what they requested.
No, it's not. In another room, other investigators hear what sounds like hammering coming from no source. And keep in mind, it's like 1 or 2 in the morning at this point. So it's like, I doubt anyone's doing any construction.
I think that's a great opinion on that.
Thank
you. Ideally not. Otherwise, they're really just being dicks right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the only two things that I saw. Obviously, the lady could have been lying about feeling the child's hand on her leg. I did hear the hammering, but I don't really know this group, so I don't know if I trust them or not on if somebody was not just like in the other room hammering on something.
Yeah, yeah.
They did do other things in the video that I was just like, okay. Like one person was going off with her taser. Like she was just letting her taser and waving it in the room. And she said she was charging the air.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So in all other videos that I've seen of these child handprints, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all really low to the ground, like you would expect from a toddler, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the video, they go back to this window pane, and the guy's like, oh, you missed a handprint right here in the center of the window pane. And they zoom in on it, and they're like, oh, Timmy left a handprint. Except this is like the wonkiest handprint I've ever seen. It's very clear that they just like wiggled their hands down to try to make a child size handprint.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it at like chest level of the really tall guy in the room.
Little Timmy, whose name is not Tiny Tim, apparently just levitated and put his hand on the thingy-majig.
Maybe he jumped. Maybe he jumped and that's why it's wiggly. I don't know. But it
was like, little Timmy no more.
But, like, that was less convincing than the monkey handprints. Like,
monkey handprints. Like, at least the monkey handprints were not a hoax.
Yeah, at least
not
they
by
were
humans.
Yeah, yeah.
Something was touching those cars.
Yes, they were. But so I'm like, okay, that's obviously fake. But anyway, so the current owner of the Texas location claims, well, okay, at least a year ago, current owner claims that the pianos in the Texas location will play by themselves as well. And he said that he's been there alone multiple times and he'll just hear a couple keys go off and just be like, oh, hello. And
yeah.
So there are several lights that he has to use a key to turn off, like a key. Yeah, I just said piano keys, so I didn't want people getting confused. I'm sorry. So he'll turn off the lights with the key, leave, come back, and the lights will be on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I didn't know you could turn lights off with a key.
Yeah, there's like these little, it's honestly, you know how like a light switch has like the little prongy thing?
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with the prongy thing.
You're familiar with the prongy thing? Well, these keys with the light switches, they're basically a detachable prongy thing. So I've had to work at a couple places. Yeah, so you just go around and you have a detachable prongy thing and you stick it in the hole and you flick it down. And it's just to make sure that nobody can, like, no drunk person can come up and just be like,
okay.
So the last little bit, one employee named Letitia was cleaning up after a wedding with a couple other employees. And everything was done. Everything was cleaned up. And this was in the second floor event center where Timmy is often seen in the windows. Mm-hmm. And they were doing some paperwork. All the lights were off. And they're sitting there and they look up and they just see a red balloon bobbing as if a child was carrying it and walking. And it just crosses the room over to the window. And they're like, there was no balloons at this wedding. There was no red balloons at this wedding. There was nothing red at this wedding. And they just sit there and watch the balloon go. And then it, like, is let go and goes up to the rafters.
Oh, interesting. You know, it's kind of almost like very Haunting of Hill House or The Sixth Sense, where the ghost things are red.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But that is Pat O'Brien's.
Well, thank you for sharing, Zoe.
You're welcome.
There's some stuff to chew on there.
You know, I really looked hard for employee reviews, staff or guest reviews, photos, videos. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find any of that. I wanted to be clear. Like, I looked through Google reviews. I looked through TripAdvisor reviews. The only mentioning of spirits I could see was rum.
Yeah, that does make it so like, it makes the search very confusing when you're doing a haunted boozy places.
Yeah. And it's like, I got so many stories from, like, employees being interviewed and guests being interviewed, but I couldn't find a single, like, oh, I went here. And, like, there weren't even comments on forums.
Gotcha. Okay, okay.
So, with that being said, a little bit of transparency for you. How haunted is Pat O'Brien's New Orleans?
So, okay, thank you for specifying New Orleans. Okay, I think, okay, first off, I just need to say, I think the most haunted thing we've talked about is your work bathroom. Second. The second most haunted thing we talked about in this episode is the Pat O'Brien's bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm purely going off of how scared I was when you told me slash would be there. That's, like, part of how I judge this. What details stand out? So, like, the heavy breathing and the laughter, the sense that something is waiting for you on the landing, then going in after you. Hate that with all my being. However, that does make for a very good ghost story. But we don't have videos. We don't have photos. I do put stock into employee and guest interviews. I really do. Okay. Keep in mind, I am, like, there are things in the story that creep me out more than places that I may have rated higher. Okay. So I just want you to know, it's about, this rating's about quantity, not quality.
Uh-huh.
All right. I think I'm teetering between a 5.5 and a 6.
Okay.
Just because there's, what you told me was quite creepy, but there wasn't a whole bunch to it. That's my final answer for New Orleans.
You know what? I did forget to mention one specific thing. I don't think it's going to change anything at all because I think it's there for necessity's sake. People do claim to see Pat O'Brien himself in the second floor storage room, which used to be his office. I would be disappointed if they didn't. Yes. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Thank you for mentioning that. I maintain my, but I do need to narrow it down. It's a 5. You know, I'm going to give it a 6 because I actually really would love to and would hate to visit that bathroom.
So
that's my answer.
I love that you are like, here's here's a reason and here's a reason and here's a reason. So I'm going to give it this number. And I'm just like in my stomach thinking, what number sounds nicest? And I think I'm at a 6 or a 7, and I'm going to go with 7 just because you said 6.
I think this is also very indicative of how you and I are around ghosty things in general, because you have the ability to go very instinctual with it. Like, there was a reason why you said you were like thinking with your stomach.
Yeah.
And I am very much like, what can I reason through? Because I don't have a gut instinct for any of this.
Like, I'll literally be sitting there and I'm like, okay, so definitely 8s and 9s, that's way too high. And then I'll be like, 5 is way too low. 6, 7, probably 7. Let's see what Robin says. Robin says 6, so I'm going to go 7.
It feels very right to me that I was teetering between 5 and 6 and you were like 6 or 7, because we always kind of bracket things with about a point's difference, except for cryptids, which we can range really far apart on.
Yes. Yes, we can.
We can be a 1 in a 10 if we wanted to be.
Honestly? We probably could, because I believe that the Sumter Lizard Man is out there and waiting for me.
You believe in the Lizard Man. I believe my final verdict was, I kind of believe in the Lizard Man, which is a miracle itself.
You said you want to believe in the Lizard
Man. Okay. I want to believe. That makes more sense, actually.
One day we're going to go back and redo like our favorite episode, and I'm going to redo the lizard episode and just be.
That'd be great. Yeah. I'd love to. All right. Well, Zoe, thank you for today's episode.
Thank you for listening.
All right, everyone. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate, subscribe, review, tell a friendo, subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/hauntedhospitality. For just $3 a month, you get a new episode from us.
Yes, and it comes out on the 13th because we're spooky. If you want to see my sources, you can head over to hauntedhospitality.wordpress.com. If you have your own spooky story, maybe you've been to Pat O'Brien's, you can, any of the locations, you can write to us at hauntedhospitalitypodcast@gmail.com, or you can slide into our DMs.
Yes, we are on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Haunted Hospitality. You can also find us on Twitter at Haunted Hosts. Hope to see you there.
Stay spooky.